This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll hear the latest on Milwaukee's residency requirement.
First, the Annie E. Casey Foundation released its Kids Count data book yesterday. It's an annual report that looks at the well-being of children nationally and state by state using an index of 16 different indicators. This year's report shows there are more kids living in poverty now than during the Great Recession, even though the economy seems to have recovered.
And we're taking your calls on this. Why do you think there are more kids living in poverty now than during the recession? What policies do you think could help to lift these kids out of poverty? How do you think kids in Wisconsin are faring? And what are you seeing in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Ken Taylor is with us now for a look at the report and what it says about how kids are doing in Wisconsin. He's the executive director for the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on your program.
So, Ken, we'll spend some time on the bad news behind some of the numbers here, poverty and other issues. But I want to start maybe with some upside. Wisconsin ranking 13th in overall well-being for children. On the positive side, what fed into that number?
Well, I think that one of the things that we do quite well at is some aspects of our education system. So some of the good news in this report are around high school graduation, which is relatively high across the board, though not consistently in all races and ethnicities, and also teen birth rates that are going down. So I think this reflects the fact that, you know, historically we have invested in kids and families, and this overall top-tier ranking reflects that.
Now, this report takes the latest available numbers, pretty much 2013, and the big headline has been that poverty for kids seems to be on the rise compared even with the outbreak of the Great Recession. Similar story here in Wisconsin?
It is, unfortunately. The good news here is that our poverty rate for children is slightly lower than the national average. The bad news is that it's growing faster, so that means that we're catching up to the national average, and that's of concern. And what that means in our state is nearly a quarter of a million children live below poverty, which for a family of three is roughly $20,000 a year.
Now, long term, what are some of the consequences for kids who grow up in poverty? What risks does that put them at?
Well, it puts them at risk for a whole host of challenges later in life. So we know that educationally, there's more challenges. We know that their future employment prospects are dimmer. We know that when it comes to their health, they don't live as long, and they have more challenges in their health. So we know that the long-term negative impacts are significant, and a lot of that has to do with the stress that kids and families are under when they live in poverty.
And what do you see the state needing to do to tackle some of those issues to hopefully lift kids out of poverty?
Well, we think that we need to take a two-generation approach. So we need a holistic look at both families and children. Too often our systems to support people are focused on one or the other, and obviously children grow up in families. Many grown-ups are parents, and so we need to look more broadly at both generations, or even three generations, but at least two generations simultaneously. And so what that means for parents is having access to family-supporting jobs that pay adequate income to boost them out of poverty, and having the skills to do that work in the current environment. And for kids, it means high-quality early care and education in particular, because we know that that has a great return on that investment, but also high-quality education throughout their education career. And then the links between those two, so the systems to link parents and their kids, so that they're not having to make choices between being a good employee and being a good parent. And too often we place low-income parents in that situation where it's difficult to do both.
Talking to Ken Taylor with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, looking at the new Kids Count data book just out this week, looks at child well-being around the country and state by state, a number of different measures, finds an increase in poverty nationwide and here in Wisconsin among kids, even compared to the beginning of the Great Recession. I want to talk, Ken, about racial disparities. You've been studying that for years now, recent reports before this new one. How does that fit into the research that's involved in this report?
Well, the overall high ranking, you know, in top tier, 13th rank, really masks some deep racial disparities in our state. So, so I think we should be proud that we're a top tier, although, you know, we have neighbors in the upper Midwest that are doing significantly better than that. But even with that said, when you look at the well-being of kids of color in our state, we are at the bottom. So, in fact, this earlier report that you referenced called Race for Results showed that the well-being of African-American kids in our state was the worst in the nation, and the well-being of the Asian kids in our state was also in the bottom tier. And so this high ranking overall, because we have such a high proportion of white kids in our state, mask these challenges that we have within communities of color. And it really is about the systems that we have and the challenges that they present that are driving these disparities.
One of the indicators that the national report we're talking about looked at was children growing up in areas of concentrated poverty, kids growing up in very poor neighborhoods, not just families. Is that something we see in Wisconsin, maybe something that disproportionately affects African-American kids in the state?
It does. So we do see that, and we see that it is getting worse here. It is also getting worse across the country. And the thing that is challenging about this is that it's not only the poor kids who grow up in these high poverty areas that have challenges, but even the non-poor kids do worse when they live in communities that have concentrated poverty than if they were to live in other communities. So it's not only affecting the kids that grow up in poor families. And there are challenges in the urban areas of our state, and certainly in Milwaukee. And Milwaukee has some of the highest levels of any urban area in the country around this concentrated poverty, which then does affect kids of color, and particularly African-American kids in Milwaukee.
Well, and the huge question then is, how do you target changes that will help those communities where there is this concentrated poverty, racial communities where we have this disparity? What is proven out there, if anything, that's going to help deal with that?
Right, and I would say that there is this concentration of poverty in our urban areas, but poverty is growing all over the state. So if you look at the map where the growth of poverty, you know, it's not just in the urban areas of our state. There's significant increases, you know, in the western and northern parts of the state as well. So the solutions that we come up with to address this also need to work where there aren't concentrations of people at all, right, where they're in rural areas of our state. So it doesn't reflect that particular challenge doesn't show up in this statistic, but it is very much real across rural parts of and northern parts and western parts of our state. So we think that the solution to this goes back to this two-generation approach. And, you know, there are some big challenges there, particularly when we're talking about, you know, having access to family-supporting jobs, when most of the job growth in our state is in poverty-level, low-income jobs. So, and this is a national challenge, but to the extent that we see job growth, the vast majority of it, you can still work full-time and have your family be in poverty. So that's one of the challenges that are sort of broader economic challenges. But also this idea, this concern that we have around it being difficult for difficult for low-income parents to be both good employees and hold down a good job, and the challenges that that presents when the pay isn't very good, and also what it takes to be good parents and be able to go to take care of your kid when they're sick. Many of these jobs don't have sick time or ability to leave to go to a school meeting or things like that. So we have to create a system that allows parents to succeed in the workplace and also succeed as parents.
We're talking to Ken Taylor with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families about the just-released Kids Count data book. This year's data shows more children are living in poverty now than at the beginning of the Great Recession.
And we're taking your calls. Are you surprised to hear that more Wisconsin children are living in poverty now, even though the recession is more or less over? And how do things look in your community? What do you think should change to help Wisconsin kids be more successful? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're picking up our discussion now with Ken Taylor from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families about the annual Kids Count report. He says this year's data shows some hopeful signs and a lot of room for improvement.
We're taking your calls on this. What do you think Wisconsin should do differently to help children in the state have more opportunities for success? What policies do you think would help the state's most vulnerable population, kids living in poverty? How can we overcome racial disparities? How do things look on the ground where you live, in your community? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Andy on the line in West Bend. Andy, hi. You're on the air.
Hello. Well, thank you for having the show. It's very interesting.
Oh, what do you think, Andy?
Here's what I see is a disparity in wealth in this country is just... has gone to pre-depression levels. we've moved back in that. We're moving back as far as the unions go down. The people that hold up the middle class are being set back. We're seeing wages go down. The laws are pushing back again to allow younger people to work. Kids back in the workforce. You got people like Scott Walker blasting the minimum wage, saying we don't need it. And as long as there's money, I guess my point is that as long as there's money in politics and such an influence of big money and dark money in politics, I don't see our politicians making any changes in favor of the general populace. It just seems that it goes more and more for the wealthiest.
Andy, I want to jump in and get our guest in on this. Ken, as he paints it, there's a lot stacked up against the kind of changes you're hoping for to tackle child poverty and other children-related issues. Do you have any hope of movement on some of the things you're hoping will change?
Well, I do, because I think Andy is right that we are seeing disparities in wealth go to pre-depression levels. The distinction actually is an important one, the distinction between income and wealth, because wealth is something that gets passed on from generation to generation. And so when we look at income disparities, they're bad, but when you look at wealth, it's even worse. And the thing is that there are corrections that happen because people understand that this is not a sustainable path that we're on. So there are big forces and powerful forces that are allayed against this, but as more and more people understand that the system is not supporting regular families, and that we do need to sort of take action more broadly to say we have a shared fate. We used to believe in this thing called the common good. And we need to get back there because the benefits of the hard work aren't going to the people who are doing the work. And so we need to get back to a point where that is increasingly the case. It's not that the wealthy can't stay wealthy, but the inequities are growing even more, and so they need to be more broadly shared.
Andy, thanks for that call. We'll get back to callers in just a minute. I wanted to ask you about one other element from the KC Foundation's recommendations having to do with early childhood education. How important do you see that? How are we doing here in Wisconsin on that?
Well, early childhood education, I think, is one of the really important keys, and I can't overemphasize how important that is. Not only is it the right thing to do for the kids, but it's really a smart investment to make. So we have some of the strongest social science research that tells us that the return on investment is very strong, better than the stock market, and this is, you know, this is Jim Heckman, who's an economist from the University of Chicago. He's a Nobel laureate telling us this, and he's not the only one, but he's certainly one of them. And we also know so much from brain development research and the brain science about just how prolific the development is in those first 5 years. And so I think any parent with a young child will tell you, it's amazing how much they learn in a day. Or, you know, a grandparent who hasn't seen their grandchild for a month, they're coming back to a kid that knows so much more that next month. And so I think we all experience that. And so we need a system that supports that. We also know that most young kids have, you know, all their available parents, either if it's one or both, working. 75% of young kids in Wisconsin have their parents working. So we know that that is a requirement in most families, and so we need to have a system that supports that, and we know that the investment pays long-term dividends.
We're talking to Ken Taylor. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, looking at the new Kids Count data report, looking at poverty and other issues facing children around the country and state by state, including here in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Back to our callers now with Harry on the line in Madison. Harry, hi.
Yes, hi. Our economy has changed. We have exported so many of our jobs and offshored so many of our factories that they're not the same jobs that they used to be. And the second thing I would like you to take into your calculus is the question of educational ethic. My mother was just a domestic worker. She taught me to read before I went to school and taught me to love education and to respect my teachers. And consequently, I have 5 degrees, and nobody ever helped me to go to school. In this country, anybody can get an education if they want to. Thank you.
Harry, thanks a lot for the call. So he's saying, Ken, part of the solution is, rich or poor, we need to instill an educational ethic in both generations, parents and children.
Yeah, and I would agree. The question that that I would have for Harry is that opportunity really equally available to all? And so, you know, we look at the opportunities that my kid might have, and then compare that to some of the opportunities that low-income children might have and low-income kids of color. Now it sounds like, you know, Harry definitely beat the odds, right? And that is to be commended, and that is, you know, one of the great things about America and about Wisconsin, that can happen. But I would argue that we also need to change the odds so it's not so exceptional, and that more people actually do have the opportunity, because if you look in certain areas, I think it's pretty clear to folks that some people can make it out of dire circumstances, but it's quite a bit harder.
Harry, thanks for the call. Harry also brought up just a structural change that those manufacturing jobs where someone maybe with a high school education could make, in effect, a middle-class salary to raise a family on. They just aren't out there as much anymore. Is that just an element that's really beyond our control that we're just going to have to kind of live with, Ken?
Yeah, well, there's no question that that is a major contributor to sort of the hollowing out of the middle of our economy. But I think that there are other kinds of family supporting jobs that can be created. You know, while the manufacturing sector, you know, has taken a hit, we're still one of the heavy manufacturing states that still plays a larger role here, and we need to evolve. We need to create other types of family supporting jobs, and you know, this is an economy, and you know, this is a country that has figured out, you know, big challenges before. So just accepting that there's no way to have a robust middle class anymore, I just don't believe that.
So looking at this report, what kind of things are you hoping that leaders, maybe the legislature at city and state level, take out of this and do with the numbers that are in here?
Well, again, I think the acknowledgement and the understanding about the long-term implications of poverty, particularly for our kids, and that understanding that it's, unfortunately, it's getting worse, not better. And so we need to take action to address this, and that it's not just in the best interest of the kids who are growing up in poverty and their families, but it's really in our collective best interest, because we know that when these kids do better, we all do better, and also that the long-term negative implications are quite costly. So we need to invest, and what we need to invest in is world-class education from birth to career that prepares kids and adults for the economy of the 21st century. And we also need to sort of, I would say, regain and energize the common good and the common ground, this shared fate that I think we need to reinvigorate, because we really do need to do this together.
Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
That was Ken Taylor. He's executive director for the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. He was with us to talk about the 2015 Kids Count Report, which showed that Wisconsin ranks 13th when it comes to overall well-being for children.